Hello, everybody, and welcome to
Radio.
Radio episode one of our five-part series, Planting Spiritual Seeds. I am your host, Yolanda Henderson, and I want to welcome everyone tonight to our series. We hope that you learn everything you need to learn, and if you want to take notes, if you want to call someone and invite them to listen in with us, that'll be great as well. We do have our guest speaker tonight, who is going to bring forth what thus said the Lord and give you some insight and some information. So we want to thank God for Mr. Normal Henderson, the one and only wonderful husband that I truly can call head of my household, a father, a wonderful husband. And he has some insight on planting spiritual seeds. And I want to thank him for joining me tonight because he did not have to. And he's going to speak with everyone, and I'm excited about that. I'm going to go over what all we're going to talk about tonight, and we're going to start off with a prayer, and we're going to have him come forth with his insight of planting spiritual seeds. Okay? So if anyone would like to call in or they have questions later on in the show, while we're taking questions, we have a segment for that. The guest call-in number is 516-531-9837, 516-531-9837, okay? And you can call in, and if you have any questions on anything we have to say tonight, or you just want to bring forth your own insight, if God has laid something on your heart to share with us, we'd like to hear it, okay? And so what we're going to be talking about is planting spiritual seeds, okay? And a lot of people ask, why do we plant in the flesh and not of the spirit? That's a good question for tonight. And don't we reap what we sow when we plant spiritual seeds? I believe so. And can we find healing in alcohol and comfort in man-made drugs or relief in sin? That is one that is a mystery, and we will find that out tonight. And if you listen closely, everything will be revealed to you, okay? So I want to go with you tonight in a word of prayer, and I'll go ahead and start with that. If everyone could stop wherever you are and bow your heads and close your hearts, we're going to enter prayer with a humble heart and a humble spirit. And we're asking, Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this night, Lord. We thank you for forgiving us, Lord. We thank you for entering into our lives, God. We thank you for the desire to praise you, to worship you, and to study your word, and to gain knowledge, God. We're asking that you take us from babes to Christian, mature adults in your word and in your will, God, that we may be able to bring forth the seed, God, that you're planting in us as we sow into the kingdom of God, Father God. We love you, Lord, and we ask that whatever it is that you have to give us tonight, that it be a blessing to your sight, that it be something that you give us, God, to tell others, that it may be prosperous, that it may be a blessing, and that seed may be planted upon good soil tonight, God. We thank you for this opportunity. We thank you for the gathering of the multitude, God. And we ask that you bless us continuously, Lord, that everything that we set our minds and our hands to do shall be prosperous because it's for your kingdom and for your glory and your grace, God. We thank you for your grace and your mercy. In the name of Jesus, we pray and we thank you. Amen. All right, amen for that prayer. And we're introducing Mr. Henderson onto the air. And we thank you again for listening.
All right. Hello, hello. Thank you for having me.
All right.
Well, I just want to share with you all a couple of things about the seed you sow and to what will it grow. Three main things here, I guess, would be: one, that a seed is small; two, a seed is ordinary; three, a seed is faithful. All right? We're going to first start off like this. Growth begins with the sowing of seed. That is true in the vegetable kingdom of the earth. It is also true in the spiritual kingdom of heaven. It's amazing how you can change your life simply by paying attention to the spiritual seeds that we sow daily. The Lord knows this, so he says, "Do not be deceived, for God is not mocked. For whatever a person sows, this will that person also reap. For those who sow to their own flesh shall reap corruption from the flesh. But the one who sows it to the Spirit shall reap eternal life from the Spirit." That scripture can be found in Galatians, the 6th chapter, the 7th through the 10th verse. But a seed is small. A seed is a very small thing compared to the plant and the harvest it produces. The parable of the mustard seed points this out in Matthew 13:31-32. Christianity is not necessarily a religion of big heroic deeds. It may sometimes require them, and the suffering of Christ on the cross exemplifies them. However, it is things which are small in the eyes of the world, yet which even the world may value, that are the stuff of everyday Christian living and of the Christian's development. Have you ever wondered why there are so many commandments in the Bibles that are small things to ask of us? There are only a few big things, but such a lot of small things too, like Romans 16 says, "Greet one another with a holy kiss." 1 Thessalonians says, "Comfort," which means in that text, encourage one another. "Seek what is good for one another and for all men." Same book. "Pray for one another." "Use hospitality towards one another without grumbling." I mean, you know, you could just add just any little small thing that you want to add to it of the list that you do every day. But those are just pretty basic things, you know. Why you walk around with your face all turned up all the time? You looking sad all the time, but you telling people that you went to church on Sunday, but you got bad attitude, you know. Small little things like that, just being cheerful, you know, just being happy. A seed is ordinary. Of course, some small things are highly valued. A pearl, for example, may be of great price. But a seed is a very ordinary thing. Seeds are cheap. People don't pay much regard to a seed because it's not only small, but it's ordinary. Christians don't have to do extraordinary things to talk clean and avoid coarse or blasphemous language. It's not very extraordinary. But to show gratitude with a kiss or a smile or a gift or even just a thank you is not very extraordinary. Yet these acts are little seeds that you can sow each day, and the harvest later on may be, well, extraordinary. To illustrate this thought, consider someone you know who works hours and hours every week without wages for the benefit of others. This person may be doing tasks like washing, ironing, cooking, cleaning, ferrying, and taking kids back and forth to school, babysitting, you know, little stuff like that. A happy and contented family is the fruit of sowing good seeds, such as gratitude, abundantly. It's such an ordinary thing just to be thankful, But what a difference it makes at home, work, and everywhere else you go. That's in Colossians, the 3rd chapter, the 12th verse. Just being thankful over the small things, you know. Do things for people and be happy that you're doing it for the people, you know. When somebody asks you to do something, you know, do it, you know. Do it with a kind heart. Even if it might be something that you feel like is just overwhelming, but if it don't kill you, it'll help you. You know, it's all right to be kind. A seed is faithful, small and ordinary as it may be. So long as it remains alive, it will sprout when you sow it. The seed is faithful and reliable in doing what God meant for it to do when it is sown. The spiritual seed we are thinking about is faithful too. It will produce much fruit in due season if we sow it. That is not the whole story, however. A seed to be faithful must die when it's sown. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains by itself alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. That's John, the 12th chapter, the 24th verse. The reason many people give up on sowing spiritual seeds is that each time they sow the seed, the little bit of themselves that they have given dies. They do not trust the seed. They don't look in faith beyond the depth of what that little bit of themselves, believing that it will conquer its death to live again as much fruit. So they stop letting little bits of themselves fall into the earth and die. We need to have the same type of patience and faith when you're sowing the spiritual seed. You know, all you have to do is wait. The scripture says, behold, the farmer waits for the precious produce of the soil, being patient about it until it gets the early and late rain. That's James, 5th chapter. You see, sometimes you just have to wait. When you do things, it might not always come back around and be profitable the very first time that you do it, you know. But after you do it the first time, who knows? That's planting seed, you know. It have to take like a certain type of motivation, you know. You just can't be sitting around in a pity party looking at the circumstances and woe is me, planting seed first takes action, you know. Planting a seed, it first takes an action to do, you know. So that means that you have to, you know, get out there and make what happens need to happen. Then you're going to see that it needs to be done, you know. Don't entertain foolishness. That'll be playing your seed the wrong way right there, entertaining foolishness and, you know, stalling your time, you know, and just waiting around, you know. But that's what I have to share with planting the spiritual seed.
All right. Well, thank you, and God bless you, Mr. Henderson. I do have some questions, and if any of the callers have any questions or would like to input on anything that he just said, please give us a call. Remember, the number is 516-531-9837. And I have a question for you. One of the questions that I did have was, can we find planting seeds in planting in our flesh, or is it more of planting spiritual seeds? Because, well, we want to make sure that our audience know the difference between the seed, because there's a good and a bad seed. Right.
Yeah, it is. I mean, if you spending all your time, you know, giving to yourself, you know, or doing things to glorify yourself, then you plant a bad seed. You plant a seed for the wrong intention. You know, you plant the seed out there with the intentions on it being a perfect plant. You know, because those seeds, they represent your dreams and your goals and your ideas. You know, so naturally you want to reap those same benefits of your hard work. Plant a seed into your flesh is like just, you know, really almost like being selfish, you know. You put yourself above everything. See, the Bible says he who sows the seed into his flesh, you know, hey, he plant a bad seed, you know. So, you know, so you're going to reap the fleshly things, you know. That's what you're going to do. Flesh meaning world, you know. You either going to plant a seed to yourself you know, and just reap this small little limited little things on earth? Or do you plant the seed for to gain eternal life, to go to heaven? You know, by doing those things, I think you probably want to go to heaven more than sowing seeds just for selfish gain. Yeah, all you're going to do is gain it for the moment, but you're going to die. And when you die, then what you got?
Amen.
You can't take none of it with you.
Amen. Amen. That was wonderful. That was awesome. All right, so we haven't had any callers yet, so I'm going to jump in on what I have and explain more about planting and reaping and understanding the seeds in the Bible, okay? So God said in the Bible some things that are very profound about seeds, and you can understand them, you will gain vast amounts of spiritual knowledge and understanding of how almost everything in the world works. And I know that sounds like a very broad statement, and you probably obviously do not know very much about seeds right now, or you would have to agree with me. Okay, so as a holistic health coach, I believe in planting seeds. I believe in growing and gardening. And when you garden, you have to find soil. The soil has to be right, has to be the right time, it has to be in the right season, and in order for the seed to sprout and to grow. And there's very little seeds. And one of the smallest seeds the Bible talks about is the mustard seed. And the Bible talks about having faith the size of a mustard seed. So that says something about faith. A lot of us don't have a lot of faith. We have very little faith, but just enough faith will get us into what God wants us to go into. And that size of a mustard seed is very significant to me. So the seeds represent concepts that apply both to the natural realm and to the spiritual realm. So when you begin to understand them, you will begin to understand why things have happened in your life and how to affect or change your future results. Okay. A lot of Christians believe that everything that happened to them in life is predetermined by God, and if it's God's will, they will live to be an old person or old man or woman, if not only God knows. But while God does know your future, it is definitely wrong to say that you cannot change it. If you do not believe me, you should read your Bible. And it says it in the 2 Kings 20. You see that Isaiah, the prophet, is coming to King Hezekiah and telling him that the Lord says for him to set your house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. And the prophet of God tells the king that God has already told him what will happen. And these are the sayings of the Almighty God. And King Hezekiah ends up praying to God. And as a result, God tells Isaiah to tell the king he shall live 15 more years. So what would happen if Hezekiah had not prayed? He would have died. Who changed God or Hezekiah to cause him to live 15 more years? The Bible says that I am the Lord and I change not. That's in Malachi 3:6. So obviously God did not change his mind. So what happened? That certainly is a mystery that too many Christians do not understand. It is not totally up to God what happens to you. It is more up to you than it is to God. However, since this is not the subject, we're talking about seeds. We will continue to learn about seeds and see if you can figure the mystery out for yourself. So the scripture for this series of Bible is Genesis 8:22, and says, while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest time, and cold and heat, the summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. So what God is revealing in this verse is that there are established laws on the earth. These laws consist of physical laws as well as spiritual laws. These laws are representative of established natural patterns with creation and even reveal the hidden qualities of God. And these laws represent established cycles that will not cease unless God calls them to change in the future. However, it is clear to say that God says these laws will persist as long as the earth is here. So they do not go away anytime soon. Okay, so we have the cycle of day and night. And again, the representative of a 24-hour cycle of time, and the earth revolves in every day, okay? So the seeds, planting seeds and getting harvest are a part of the essential design of God's creation, as well as being an essential part of God's hidden nature and character. Hopefully, you will better understand this as we go through the Bible on this subject, but here is a challenge from God. There are multiple things in the Bible called seeds, and this is one of the complexities found while studying the Bible, and this is something that Mr. Henderson was also talking about when he was describing or saying what seeds can be. While the overall concepts behind each occurrence of the word can overlap, they're certainly not the same entity. And so some examples of the seeds in the Bible are the natural grass seed, the natural fruit seed, the seed of a man, which is his sperm, the seed of a woman, which is her children, the seed of a man and a woman, their offspring, the word of God, the seed of your mouth, your words, the body of Christ, the church, and your body. So those are 10 examples of things that the Bible calls seeds, and this is certainly not a complete list of them. Just for just by looking in the dictionary definition of the word seed, it's in the noun form, a mature, fertilized oval of angiosperms and gymnosperms that contain an embryo and the food it will need to grow into a new plant. Seeds provide a great reproductive advantage in being able to survive for extended periods until the conditions are favorable for germination and growth. Seeds need gymnosperms, such as conifers, develop on the scales of cones and similar structures. While the seeds of the angiosperms are enclosed in the ovary that develops into a fruit, such as a pome or a nut. The structure of seeds varies somewhat. All seeds are enclosed in a protective seed coat. In certain angiosperms, the embryo is enclosed in or attached to an endosperm, a tissue that is used for a food source either before or during germination. All angiosperm embryos also have at least one cytodon. Many angiosperms were created and specific fruits for dispersal of seeds by the wild, water, or animals. So that was the definition by the dictionary, okay? So a seed has to be exactly right, developed, and have the exact survival techniques. And it's amazing how it could be so simple, but it could be so complex, and how God has made the seed be that way. So there's too many things in this description to take note of them all. So the according to the definition, a seed is self-contained unit designed for reproductive of a species. So that's another reason why we can use a seed and say, okay, well, offspring, or we can say the seed is a sperm, or we can say the seed is the children, or we can say the seed is the church, or the word of God, or the words that are coming out of your mouth. You're planting seeds. Every time you speak things, you're planting a seed, okay? So this is the planting stage, you know. First it's a seed, and then it's planted. And then while it's planted, it goes through those many cycles. And those many cycles turn and transform into an actual thing for the dispersal, as the definition of the dictionary says, by the wind, the water, or the animals, and in a spiritual case, by God. So it is more likely that several and logically more than one, but yet it would be legal to just put one in the package and sell it with the same name. So the plural word for seed also can be stated as seeds. So the complexity of the words can be significant. If you are a type of person who is into the details, you will certainly get into this Bible lesson. Okay. So the first mention of the seed in the Bible is within the context of the first chapter of Genesis. If you want to open your Bibles to this, God creates the world that we live in. In Genesis 1 and 11, God says, "Let the earth bring forth grass yielding seed." This is the first mention of seed and the first mention of the reproductive system for propagating the further existence of future plants in the world. Within the same verse, God also tells us of the earth bringing forth fruit trees, yielding fruit after its kind with the seed in itself. These are very important concepts being given to us from creation. Some have called this the law of Genesis. Everything will produce reproduce after its own kind. In other words, a cat doesn't come from a dog. A watermelon doesn't come from an orange. And everything that God created comes from and reproduces after its own kind. That means there was no evolution that took place at any time on the earth. Evolution is a fantasy embraced by ignorant people who deny design, the design of God. Everything that God created is sustaining and self-perpetuating. Today on the evening news, there were some stories about which came first. And I know a lot of you all have also heard this story. What came first, the chicken or the egg? This has long been a debated, controversial subject in the world. However, and according to the news, a group of scientists in England who studied the subject, they have concluded that the chicken had to come first based upon scientific evidence. They discovered that the shell of the egg comes from the protein found only in the ovary of a chicken. Since this protein does not exist anywhere else in the world, they have concluded that the chicken had to come first. I can tell them where the chicken came from, but that may be another day. So, and I'm sure that you search the internet, you can find information on the scientific discovery and why they concluded this. Okay, so after reading over the Bible and speaking directly on the seeds of the Bible, there's the seeds of the natural seeds in Genesis 1. So the next one comes from Genesis 3, and it goes like this one here. It comes from Genesis 3 and 15, and it says, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Okay, so if you want to learn, so this is the seed of the woman, okay? God says he was going to put enmity between thee and the woman. That means the serpent and the woman. And they were going to always be in chaos and conflict. And her seed and the enemy seed, which is evil, will always be in turmoil against each other, okay? And it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heels. Okay? So woman's seed shall bruise the head of the enemy, and thou shalt bruise his heel upon the enemy's head. And then in Genesis 4 and 25, and Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son, and called his name Seth. For God said, she hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel and Cain, and instead of Abel, who Cain slew, okay? So, Eve tells us that Seth is her seed, okay? His brother Cain had killed his brother Abel, and now she has given birth to another seed. So, obviously, the implication is given to us. All of the other children are also her seeds. So we see a clear pattern that children are called seeds to their parents. Okay? And Ruth 4 and 12, it says, let thy house be like the house of Perez, whom Tamar bare unto Judah, of the seed which the Lord shall give thee of this young woman. And so you can see in this verse that God refers to children as seeds. The term is related to the concept of planting and harvesting. These concepts was first introduced in Genesis, where God said to Adam and Eve to be fruitful and to multiply. You see the two descriptive qualities of planting seeds. You can always get a multiplied increase, and it's always related to bearing fruit. What we discover is that each child produced has built and capability to reproduce more of its own kind on the earth. Female carries the eggs and the male carries the sperm. They are joined together to produce more of the same kind of themselves. What we have in the world is exponential growth, seed pattern of the population of the world. From Adam and Eve, who were just two people on the planet just around 6,000 years ago, We now have well over 6 billion and getting closer to 7 billion people on the planet. Okay? So that's God's ideal of plentiful and harvest fields. These are God's plans and God's designs, laws of increase being demonstrated. All of these are basic seed concepts and seed principle and seed laws. I hope that you understand that. So let's look at the next occurrence of the word seed found in the book of Genesis again. And it says in Genesis 7:3, of the fowls also by of the air, by sevens, the male and the female, to keep seed alive upon the face of all the earth. What we have is a reproductive biology lesson from the story of God's creation, the stated law of God, of how God can create the original pairs of each species, both males and females, so that they reproduce and multiply and be here today for us to enjoy. God informs Noah to gather a place on the ark, the male and the female of every species, so that their seed would not vanish from the face of the earth. And this was during the time of Noah's ark, and God caused a great flood. And before the flood, I believe we all know the story, all the animals came in pairs, male and female, and that was to be able to keep the seed going, to keep the bloodline, or to keep the reproductive process going. Okay, so what we learned from the verse is that all we have to do is kill every animal of a particular species, and that species is not coming back. The kind of kills evolution. That kind of kills evolution, doesn't it? Man is doing a pretty good job at eliminating species on this planet, so what will the results be? Great point. Genesis 12:7, and the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land, and there built he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. Obviously, seed is a very important God, in speaking to Abram, tells him that his seed will be given the land. God is speaking about children, or as we can read later in the New Testament, God is speaking about a specific promised child. Too many times we like to read a verse in the Bible in isolation and try to interpret it without using God's helpful commentary and definitions. Okay, so this can cause people to come up with erroneous teachings that results in confusion. You see, you can take this verse in many different ways, and some try to take it literally and naturally interpret it and using their own human reasoning. But later we'll discover that God gives us more information. We should always use the Bible to interpret the Bible. Genesis 13:15, for all the land which thou seest to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. Again, we have a great mystery presented to us. Is the land given to the natural seed or to the spiritual seed? Okay, so you notice that God did not tell Abram that it was his forever, because obviously Abram died and is no longer here to possess it. What we have concluded is that whoever this seed is that will be given the land, most the eternal seed, or a seed that will live forever. That certainly changes the interpretation dramatically, doesn't it? This has been an introduction to the subject of seeds in the Bible, and I really hope that everything that I talked to you tonight have been a blessing and is important to what you have learned tonight. If I have any questions, feel free to call us on my Blog Talk Radio discussing planting spiritual seeds. The number to call in if you have questions is 516-531-9837. We'll take a brief break while we have any callers or anyone who would like to include anything that they feel about planting spiritual seeds. All right. Well, welcome back to our show. Tonight it is Planting Spiritual Seeds, and I am your host, Yolanda Henderson, and we have been talking and giving some wonderful insight and actually sowing some seeds. If there's callers on here listening tonight, we hope that we have sown seeds into you and you all will sow seeds back into us and ask us questions and sow seeds, whether financial blessings, prayer, however seed that you would like to sow tonight. Feel free and let God use you, because we are actually accepting God's call to be fruitful and multiply and spread seeds that bring forth a harvest, a good harvest. We're not Satan seeds. We don't want to bring forth bad harvests and produce bad fruit. So we're on here tonight, and we have more with coming forth, sowing spiritual seeds. So going back into what I had and the information that I've researched, and it's going into, we know what a seed is. We know that seeds, from what I said earlier, can be the offspring of a woman and the man. It could be the sperm of the male species. It could be the child of a woman. It could be the church, the body of Christ. So we have learned what spiritual seeds are, and we have learned what the natural seeds, and we know that everything is natural, and we have a spiritual. So we have a natural, we have a supernatural, and we need to know what the seed means, both in the natural and the supernatural, okay? A lot of times we're not taken into a literal sense, because in literal sense, they are exactly the same. It's just like using the same word for a simile, where the words are similar and they're meaning the same thing, but they're actually talking about a different meaning. So, what gives us by the law of first mention are some general concepts that are relevant to the entire subject of seed, and that's the word seed that's first mentioned in First Genesis 11 and 12, or Genesis 1, 11 through 12, okay? So one of the concepts given was the fact that the seed is said to be within itself, and it is a concept with implications attached to it. So we can discover that an apple tree produces apples that contain seeds. And these seeds produce other trees to come into existence, which produce more apples and more seeds. This represents a self-perpetuating system of apple reproduction. And no matter how many apples come from the seeds produced, they all originate from that one. And there's an old saying that goes, only God knows how many apples are in the apple seed. And I want to take this concept and expand it to show that the Bible says about this relatable and the other concepts found in the Bible. As you recall in the first lesson, we also talked about children being seeds. Okay, so we saw that Seth was being called the seed of Eve. So now let's talk about the natural human seed of a man. This is commonly referred to as a sperm or a semen in our world, but the Bible also called it a seed. So why does God use the same word to describe something that we have other words to describe? Either God didn't understand any other words to use for this, which I doubt, or God is trying to teach us something new, which I do think so. That is a common mistake that modern Bible translators and interpreters make consistently, and they take a word like seed and then change it to descendant or child and think they are helping us to understand what God is saying. Well, just like I was saying, how God uses a simile, this is exactly what I'm mentioning. So what they do is lose God's intended lesson on what a seed is, and therefore we do not learn what God wanted to teach us. What we must do is be smart enough to realize that God could have selected any word to describe a subject, and if he selects seed to describe the semen of a natural man, then it has a purpose. So could it be that the seed concept of planting and harvesting is a truth that occurs when a husband and a wife have physical sex? I think that we should see what God says. And in Leviticus 12 and 2, it says, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, if a woman hath conceived seed and bore a man child, then she shall be unclean 7 days. According to the days of the separation shall she be unclean. Okay? So the Hebrew word translated as conceived seed means to sow seed. To sow seed is a farming and agriculture type of term, which I said earlier, and represents a metaphor. That's the word, a metaphor for the concept that God says is related. I doubt very seriously that many couples think of sex in this term. It could be that a few do if they're trying to get pregnant and have children. Okay, so Leviticus 15 and 16 says, if any man's seed of copulation go out from him, then he shall wash all of his flesh in water and be unclean until the even. Okay? It is difficult sometimes to discuss every subject found in the Bible. It seems that God did not leave out anything. I assume since this is the way he created it, then we can assume that it has a purpose for existing. In this verse in Leviticus, we again see the sperm of a man being called his seed, okay? The term copulation means simply a sexual act, like intercourse. That's why male seeds or male sperm is so important. It's so important, and a lot of times men are unaware of how important their seeds are, or their sperm is, because they'll waste it, and a lot of times some men do understand it and won't waste it. God has given you that specific task to carry and bring forth a seed, and it's so important how we use that and where we use that. Men use that. I'm sorry, not we, but men. Okay, so we have now touched on the first five examples of the term seed found in the Bible. Okay, and we have seen physical and natural plant seeds in Genesis, and we have seen the sperm of a man being called the seed in Leviticus, and we have seen the children of natural parents being referred to as seeds in Genesis and in Ruth. We've also seen that the offspring of other species of animals also called seeds in Genesis, and we have learned that every seed reproduces after its own kind from Genesis 1. So dogs only produce dogs. Orange seeds only produce orange trees, and now I want to start discussing one of the most important seeds given to us in the Bible. And this concept is a spiritual law that God reveals to us using the natural examples. So we have gone through the five natural examples, although not in the complete teaching, but more of an overview, okay, so we can focus on the spiritual application. We have learned that God calls the sperm of a man his seed. We have learned that Adam knew his wife Eve, and she had a seed named Seth. What we see is a pattern, okay? We see a pattern of creation that God had designed to teach us. Adam and Eve were the first two humans in the world that we live in. They originated every other human being on the planet. So from two people, we now have almost 7 billion people on the planet. That is what God calls being fruitful and multiplying. But from demonstration, the seed of law to you from the Bible, and according to God, whatever happens to your parents is what happened to you. Okay? You probably do not understand what I'm talking about, but soon you will. In 1 Corinthians 15:22, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Okay? It is truly amazes me how smart God is. And you can see many things in the Bible, and then you can read right over them and do not even know what they mean or how they apply to other stuff we just read. So did you notice that God says that you and I were in Adam? I don't know about you, but my father was not named Adam. But yet God says, I was in Adam. As you recall from Genesis 2, God told Adam, do not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For in the day what you do, you shall surely die. Adam ignored God's command and ate, and what happened? What we see is demonstrated application of the seed law of Genesis, that the seed is in itself. In other words, Adam was walking around in the garden with the seed in his body that was everyone else in the world. Did you understand what I just said? God says that when Adam sinned, not only did he die, but he caused everyone that came from him to also die. That is an awesome revelation of the Word of God. So, for you see, it tells how we are made alive. So, by the seed, the law of seed, the concept from Genesis 1, if you are in Christ, you have been made alive. Okay? That's scripture. We talk about this more and how this works in a later topic or episode. But for now, we've confirmed what we just talked about. In Hebrews 7 and 9, and as many I may say, as I may so say, Levi also, who received tithes, paid tithes in Abraham. Okay? That scripture is significant because when we read this verse and study it for the first time, it truly is amazing that God clearly shows us another conceptual application of the law, the seed being in itself. In this verse, so did you read the verse, and did you see what God said also? Okay, no, it clearly says that Levi was in Abraham. Okay, so let's figure out what God is talking about. Who is Levi? Levi was one of the 12 sons of Jacob and the head of the tribe of Israel, which makes Levi a great-grandchild of Abraham, who had Abraham begot Isaac. Then we have Isaac, who begot Jacob, and finally we have Jacob, who begot Levi and his 11 brothers. So what we see is clear concept of family lineage being established. Your ancestry represents a research into your past relatives that you descended from. So while not everyone on the earth can trace their natural ancestry to Levi or Abraham, we can all trace our ancestry back to Adam. What we are learning is some seed concepts describing our human family tree. Hebrews 7 and 10, for he was yet in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. Okay? So now we have still further revelation of the seed mystery. Abraham said to be the father of Levi. But yet Levi doesn't come along for another couple of generations. So do you understand how that applies to us and Adam? So even though Adam was not our dearest father, he is by default the father of us all. Okay? So that also means that every father in between Adam and us is also called our father. As you can clearly read, God informs us that Levi was in the loins of the father Abraham. The loin is defined to be a pelvic region or the sexual reproductive organs of Abraham. That tells me that out of the millions and millions of sperm cells in Abraham, God knew which one that Levi would become. That is so amazing and an attention to details. So this is God's clear definition of the seed being within itself, or the law of Genesis. So now pay attention to what this says. Levi said to have paid tithes in Abraham because he was in his father Abraham by God's definition of a seed. Whatever your father did, according to God, you did. This is not always very good news for most of us. You see, a newborn baby having just been born into the world has already done everything that their fathers have done even before they do anything themselves. Not really good news, is it? I wish I would have learned this concept at a very young age. I might have done a few things differently as I grew up. Oh, well. Okay, so Lamentations 5 and 7 says our fathers have sinned and are not, and we have borne their iniquities. What we begin to discover in the Bible is the law of seed. We can better understand how family curses, generational abnormalities, and physical diseases are oftentimes inherited within a family tree. Doctors constantly want to know if your parents had any diseases because they want to see if they are appearing in you. Why is this? Why are some diseases contagious and others are more hereditary? It would appear that one parent does it pass down to the future children, and this is the basis for the existence of the hereditary diseases. Matthew 27 and 25 says, then answered all the people and said, his blood be on us and on our children. You see, the seed concept again being alluded to this verse of the Bible. the people of Israel are in the process of killing the Son of God, and they say, let his blood be on us and our children. In other words, whatever they were doing was handed down to every generation that will come after them. That is not very good news for the children who were not there, is it? The genealogy of Jesus is given to us in Luke. Have you ever wondered why God thought this was important to include in the Bible? You can clearly see every generation of Jesus going all the way back to Adam. There are around 74 generations listed, 74 names of fathers of Jesus. If you are a little bit intelligent, you realize that God did this on purpose. You can clearly see from what we have learned about seeds, whatever every father of Jesus did, Jesus is said to have done the same, okay? So, Jesus was in David. Jesus was in Abraham. Jesus was in Adam and every other name mentioned. This has far-reaching consequences for Jesus, doesn't it? Let's briefly explore a couple of the references in the Bible as Jesus being a seed of his natural father. All right, so Romans 1 and 3 concerning his son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. Jesus was born of the seed of David. This is telling us that Jesus was in David when he was king of Israel. Being a seed of David qualifies Jesus as an eternal ruler that will sit upon his father's throne, and that is pretty cool. Galatians 3 and 16. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He said not, and to seed as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. We can clearly see that Jesus Christ is called the seed of Abraham. This verse tells us that the intended usage of the word seed meant the singular example of the usage of this word. In other words, this seed is not plural. Excuse me. So now we can better understand the seed of Abraham began within him when God came to cut covenant with him. It is very interesting to note that if Jesus was in Abraham, his father, then was God making a covenant with himself? I believe that is exactly what we can see happening. Matthew 26 and 64 says, Jesus saith unto him, thou hast said, nevertheless I say unto you, hereafter shall ye see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in from the clouds of heaven. Jesus called himself the Son of Man more than he called himself the Son of God in the Gospels. Why is that? Part of the reason is to overcome the difficulty of man's inability to accept God coming to the earth in the form of his creation. Jesus Christ, being a physical man on this planet, was also informing us that he was the son of Adam. You know that Jesus was a Hebrew. Yes. Did you know that the Hebrew word for man and Adam are the same words? This is why I can say that Jesus walked around and called himself son of Adam. Do you realize what that means based upon what we have learned? That means that God created Adam. Jesus was already in Adam as a future descendant of the first man. Jesus Christ was a future seed in the physical man, Adam. What we can see is that God had a plan of salvation for man even before man was created. God had already designed himself into the body of Abraham. God already knew when he was coming, how he was coming, and where he was coming when he created Adam. God could look at Adam and see 74 generations down his family tree and see Jesus. This is some amazing forethought and planning. This is some incredible attention to detail that is amazing plans of salvation. So what we have learned is Jesus was in Adam. Whatever happens to Adam now transfers to Jesus. Since Jesus was born of the son of Adam, he must die in the death that Adam passed upon all his descendants, or seed. These are the seed laws given to us by God in Genesis. Everything produces after its own kind, and the seed is always within itself. Whatever you did is what your seed did. All right, so I hope that something that you learned here is the seed planting in your spirit about God and about planting seeds, spiritual seeds, a spiritual seed And way from the beginning, when Adam and Eve was first created, and how the generations of seeds beget 64 generations, all the way to the bloodline of Jesus, and how Jesus was already predestined to come and save mankind. So we know what a seed is. We want to wrap that up tonight, and next week we're going to continue with our planting seeds. And like I said, I hope you are blessed tonight. God bless you and have a wonderful night. I pray that you all be safe. And until next week, we'll talk again. Thank you for listening.